Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? A man is running through a shipyard. He's running for his life. He doesn't know why he is running or from whom. He only knows he is being chased. And to live, he must run. He comes to believe that the running is the cause. That if he didn't run, he wouldn't be chased. He comes to believe he is his own tormentor.
Mr. Columbo, your father called. He wants to remind you it's late.
I can tell time. Thank you very much. Message received.
Yes, Mr. Columbo. Lou, the man in the shipyard. He whispered a name.
Slow down, slow down. What man? What shipyard?
The dead man in the shipyard we found earlier.
All right, what about him?
Before he died, he whispered a name.
A name? What name?
Bud.
Bud what?
Hardier. Harvey.
Bud Hardy?
No, not Bud.
Harvey?
I don't know. Stop pressuring me. I was frightened.
You brought this up.
I know. It's just, it bothers me.
Just let it go. It was probably just the name of the person responsible for his death.
But what if it was something different?
Like what?
The name of a time travel agent.
I guess anything's possible.
Promise me we'll drop everything and investigate it.
Oh, I don't know.
Lou, for me?
All right. I'll ask around at the casino.
So I told him, you're welcome to stay, but your kneecaps have to go. He left.
Butchie, can I speak with you for a moment?
Lou, hey, sure, pal. What brings you down from the shining house on the hill?
Listen. Do you know anyone named Bud or Harvey or Hardy?
I know Bud Light.
Oh, come on.
No, Bud lied.
What?
Bud Light? Lied or lead? Marcus, what's Bud's last name? Lied, lead? Lied or lead?
Yeah, L-E-I-D. I don't know what. What about Harvey?
No Harvey. Hardy. Hardy I know. Hardy White, maybe. He's a time travel agent.
Holy cow.
It's not as interesting as it sounds. It's historic tours. He has this outfit that shows people around town and talks about junk that happened a million years ago. Tourist stuff. As long as the tour ends here, though, we're pals.
How do I find this Hardy?
I'd try up at the Sound Effects Museum where he works.
Thanks, Butch.
Hey, one last thing. You're not the first person to come in here today looking for Bud Light.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Just saying. Heads up.
Excuse me, Hardy White? Yes, can I help you? I was wondering if I could speak with you for a moment. Oh, sure. Let me just stop what I'm doing here. All right. How can I help you?
Well, I want to ask you a few questions. Your name... Is there any way to stop the sawing?
Oh, I'm sorry. They're doing some renovation here. Go right ahead. Your name came up and... I can't... Here, we'll go to the train exhibit. Ah, that's better. Your name came up in the context of... can you hear me? Yeah, go ahead. Your name came up. Come on with me.
Hey, how about the airport? We're just sitting on a plane together. All right. Your name came up in the context of a murder. What did you say? I said your name came up in the context of a murder. A murder? What do you mean? There was a man... I'm sorry, this is not working. Hang on just a second. Elysee, will you shut down the museum for a moment? Thank you. Now we can speak. You said something about a murder. Yes, a dying man said your name. A dying man said my name? Well, he said Bud Harvey or Hardy. Oh, well, that's not exactly my name. No, it's not. You know, it's really disconcertingly silent now. Oh, we're in the dead room. The dead room? Yeah, no sound can escape from the dead room. It's a little disconcerting for some people. Yeah, I can sort of almost hear my heartbeat. Yeah, I don't know. That's either interesting or it can make you vomit. I like it. Do you need a little noise, though? Would that make you feel better? The thing about this place is that no one can hear you scream. Go ahead and scream. I'll pretend I'm about to stab you in the throat. And then you scream bloody murder for help. You scream help or something and no one will hear you. All right. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you.
The investigation comes to an end. A dead end. When you've exhausted all possibilities, explored all avenues, gone down every hole and up every tree, and run out of information, the mystery remains, but its exploration ceases. It's an abandoned mine. It's a deserted launch pad. There is still heaven and hell, but now there's no way of getting there.
Well, what do you think?
It seems short. It was... Man, interesting stuff. I couldn't follow what was going on. I remember doing my lines months ago, though.
It's only 7 minutes because we ran out of money, and then everyone also lost interest. So I edited what we have, and I might lay it over a dance track at some point and make it a long video. Maybe get it on the video music channel that shows music videos.
People still make music videos?
It's a timeless art form that enthusiasts are keeping alive, like decoupage or belly dancing.
What's the name of your film?
It's a secret.
Fair enough.
I was going to call it None of Your Business, but I thought that might lead to misunderstandings.
Distribution plans?
I plan to distribute this copy out the open window and into the trash can, because I'm feeling like maybe I failed.
You didn't fail. You weren't really doing anything to begin with. I like the movie. Keep working on it.
Okay, but really I've moved on to jacket patches. That's my new thing. Be on the lookout for any cool jacket patches you see at yard sales. And think of me.
The spirit that I have seen may be the devil, God. And the devil had the power to assume a pleasing shape.
A knife to a god fight and a rose to the dead. Modified light sword delivers blows to the head. Favorite things to bring for 500. I just forgot what I said. Wiping it off to clear the type of tears I left when I had the fear weeping that seeped from the spearhead from a member of the crew. I remember doing it with you. Do you? No clue. I knew it when I left for the east. The priests in the castles there can summon ghosts and beasts and make tables rear like mules that causes the rules to bend more because magic makes magic and latches on cabinets and maximum stab wounds and lack conditions. Position themselves like a monkey steals peaches. Bastard reaches the highest position and has to listen to the voices that say steel and iron and iron monkey.
I rule you.
And so ergo I fool you. Go into my prison made of verbal abuse and gorilla glue. Decisions are made by herbal tea, fuel paid actors lacking empathy or information. The length of three empty train stations or blocks and cities with no light, no day, no nightlife. When I show up, surrender on sight. I'm like bringing a god to a knife fight. I'm like bringing a god to a knife fight.
Well, hello, friends. I'm so glad that you're with me. This is Hardy White, of course, and welcome to the radio show. Before we get started on our usual stuff, we just got a little bit of housekeeping to do. So if you don't mind, let me do that. And I hope that's not going to be a problem. I thought what I would do is, because I had this housekeeping to do, and also I needed to speak with you, maybe I could, I don't want to say kill two birds with one stone. That's so awful. Feed two birds with one piece of stone fruit. That's like a plum or a peach or something. Or a pluot, an apricot that's also a plum. I'm going to shut that off and just speak to you. I like to multitask, though. I was at the dentist one time, and the dentist said, "I'm multitasking." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, I really need to take some time off from work because I'm so worn out, but I have a lot of obligations and a lot of work to do. So what I've decided to do is do the work, but just mentally check out." And I said, "That is great. What a great plan." And, I'm not sure that I don't know the quality of the dental work. Hey, I'm no dentist. It's hard to evaluate. Because it could be cured and I'd still feel pain. So I can't use the pain as an indicator. And that's the way with art. I don't know whether to use my negative feelings to ever evaluate art. Because you think, well, that's what it meant to do. So, well, that art made me feel very bad. Well, there you go. Then it's successful. You go, wow, that's something else. Yes, I've been successfully punched in the head before like that. And that has been, I've been on the receiving end of very, very efficient, successful communication. And it's amazing what we can do just with sound or sight or touch or anything like that, or just endless barrage of information. It's amazing the emotions that we can evoke just by screaming something relentlessly at someone. It can change you, or it changes you that way. Oh my gosh, that's why when they gave me this microphone. Now here's the thing, they didn't give it to me. I know that now. We had an embarrassing few weeks where I would take the microphone with us. They said, "Now, Hardy, we're going to give you the microphone." And I would take it with me when I went home. And they overlooked it for a while. Then somebody, finally, they voted who would have to confront me. And they say, "Hardy, you have to leave it here, though. Everyone shares it." And I go, "Oh, I get it. It's mine, but it has to stay here. It's like a trophy. When you win a trophy for the high school, they say, 'Do you mind if we keep it in our trophy case, Hardy?' No. On loan." That's the way with all my, you'll notice all my Picassos are in museums because I can't keep them at my house. So I've lent out my entire collection. No, I'm joking. They're all at the house, and you can see them anytime. I have all the original. Everything you see around the world is a copy. And I have the original Picassos, which don't look anything like the copies. Nothing at all. Not the same colors or shapes. It's funny how things get distorted. When we tell, it's like a story. You know that game of lying, mumbly liar, it's called? And what you'll do is you'll sit around in a circle, And you'll one of them, you'll turn to somebody and you'll go, "Mark, crime, creepy, like that." And then they turn to someone and they tell it. And by the time it gets to the end, it's frighteningly accurate. You go, "How can that be? There didn't seem like there was much information contained." But as the human minds add to it, it becomes a real story, a real fleshed out story. And then that is reality, because reality doesn't have a story. And it needs one. So there you go. That's how you create truth, by distortion and repeated lying. Is that true? I don't know. I was told I have a list of things I'm supposed to say, and I said them already. So now I can move on and just say, "Oh, my friend, I wish I could put my arms around you. I know how difficult it is to be walking this earth. Imagine if it was even smaller. It'd be difficult to stay on it, I think." And at a certain point, go flying into space. If it were larger, we might be like squeezed up against it. Like, spend our whole lives with our cheeks pressed roughly into the ground. I don't know if this is true. I don't know a lot about mass or the only density I'm aware of is my intellect. People have said, you're so dense. I go, dense is good, though. That means there's a lot packed in there. I'm not dense. I'm foamy or something. I'm more like a meringue. My grandmother used to make these Jell-O parfaits where she'd make a couple separate things of Jell-O, and then one of them would get whipped. We'd get whipped with the mixer, and it would be all, at some point, it would get, I don't know when, but it would be all foamy, not much substance to it. And I love that. And I go, that's like eating nothing. You think Jell-O is like eating nothing. You should have it when it's been turned into some sort of flavored foam. Didn't they do that in the 90s or something for a while? I don't usually drink coffee while I'm speaking to you. And the reason I'm doing it now is because I have just the beginnings of dying of old age. Just the very beginning of it. I feel it coming on. And so I'm trying to stave it off a little bit with this tea made of staves, actual staves. And it's stave tea. It's good. I call it coffee. And no, it is coffee. And the reason that a lot of times the things that'll come out of my mouth are wrong is because that I'm trying out different beneficial lies that I've received. I have a catalog, and it says worldviews that make you feel good, and I'm trying them out, and a lot of them are hard to stomach. I don't know about you. If you got mine, have to be coated with something because my stomach, some worldviews turn my stomach, and I can't be. Even though they say, oh, no, this works, it'll make you feel great. Not me. This, your one makes me feel terrible. I was up all last night throwing up out of guilt. And so, you know, I have to be very careful what I eat. My grandmother used to say that. Say, I have to be careful of what I eat, but I'm not. So she knew what food she wasn't allowed to have, and she didn't care. She didn't pursue them, really. She just paid no mind. And then she'd say, I don't mind paying the price later. And I'd say, Why is that? And she'd say, well, because my life ended when your grandfather died. I'd go, oh, that's not really the answer I expected. I thought you'd say something more. Oh, you've just given up. Oh, I see. I thought you're just stoic. So you've had some kind of spirit. It's not that. It's that you've died inside. Well, you never know. Just when you look at people, you can't tell necessarily what they're going through unless they have a T-shirt on. That sometimes it'll tell you, say, oh, I'm not doing too good or whatever. It'll say it in a more clever way. That's why I don't sell T-shirts to depressed people, because I'm not funny enough or clever enough to do that. But I don't. Every time I've made a T-shirt, someone says, you ought to sell those. I go, I don't know how that would. It takes me so long to make, because I used iron-ons a lot of times. And I don't know how I'd go about making lots of them, because people go, well, do you have one in this size? And I go, well, not yet. And I can make it. Oh, you should have it ready to go. I'd have to make hundreds. And then you wouldn't like them. That's the thing. No matter how, I know that with for local musicians and albums. However many albums, like vinyl or anything, see, that you print, it's the wrong number. So if you print, you can print too few, you will print too few or too many. You will never, never get it right. And by too many, I mean too many by factors of hundreds or so. A comical amount of, you say, I have all these, what am I going to do with these? And then, I can't give them away. Or you don't have enough. And you say, oh, it turns out we could be zillionaires, but we just didn't have enough product.
Oh,
Charles Nelson Riley, bright and pasty, widely distributed, wildly jealous of bars. And lastly, Childers, mild case of the jitters, bitter taste and wild critters jump off of bridges, switch lizards and mid-lizard seizure. Let go of aforementioned lizard, living free off of pension, slow tense dinners, with expensive brethren last as long or longer than sitters, with expensive printers to print lizards. Boom, back to where we started, someone voted, others farted. March is mad like the mad starch of departed stack wizards. There I said it, meditate with bread between your butt cheeks like you're making what, sandwiches, Bo Peeps? I wrote a play, and it's called For Keeps, and it lasted a day, and it's directed by Charles Nelson Riley.
My favorite part of the show is when I read letters from listeners. This one from listener Charles Nelson Riley in heaven. Dear Hardy, I'm the Charles Nelson Riley and up in heaven, and now I'm directing things here, and I've just done a production of Here Comes Mr. Jordan. Hope you are well. Loving the show. It gets here a little late because of how slowly radio waves travel. And so, thank you. Here's my question. What is love? Oh, Charles, that's a very difficult question. I don't know. I know it when I feel it. I know my what affection is. I also know that sometimes I can get so mad in someone's absence, be really mad at them. And then when I see them, there's something that the love takes over, some sort of connection, a human connection, and knowing that we're both in this life together, we're both alive at the same time and struggling. Oh, it's so scary. I've been here for a while now, and every old person, or a lot of people I know, have, and not just old people, but some of them are gone. I don't know where they've gone. I know that they've died, is what I'm told, but that doesn't really tell me anything. And I've been told that since I was young. Say, where's Granny? I said, she's dead. Okay, that you've told me very little. She's in heaven. Now you're getting, you're just making stuff up. But it feels like there's less details. Well, her body stopped, wore out. I know all this is wonderful. I feel like none of it answers my question. Listen, just get used to it. And so that's what we do. We get used to it, or we go see gurus that explain it to us. Always nice to go to somebody who's overconfident who lets you know, say, no, this is the truth. And then you can feel good too. Say, well, they seem to know. I do that with a lot of things. That's why people like authority. Say, well, they seem to know. Sometimes they really do know. There's a difference between really knowing and pretending to know. Like someone can really know something, like a airplane mechanic or something. Or then there's people say, I know where your grandmother's soul is. See, they're not an airplane. They could still be an airplane mechanic, but I don't know that they really know the other thing. That would just have to be overconfidence or lying. And there's a fine line, isn't there? I like to sometimes be confident, but then I don't want to hurt anybody with my confidence. And I do have a Three Stooges level of confidence when it comes to some things. Say, could you wallpaper my house? I'd say yes. The answer is really no. I mean, I'm available to wallpaper your house. Can I really do it? No, actually. I have no business doing it. And that's a literal thing. I don't have a wallpaper business. So that's a great expression. You have no business doing that. Well, now I do. Now I have... it's called taking off my pants in public business. So when you say you have no business taking off your pants in public, I go, that's not true. Look at, here's my card. I do this for a living. And why'd you say that particularly? Because that's radio, really, is taking off your pants in public. And is it though? No, I don't know. It feels like it a little bit. You know, when some they say, oh, it doesn't mean that frogs' legs are chicken. If you say they taste like chicken. So if I say radio tastes like taking off your pants, there you go. There you have it. There's sort of no denying people's experience or their feeling a lot of times. You can say it's not rooted in reality. Well, it's rooted in reality. It's branching and leafing in fantasy world. So you can't say that. Everything is pretty much rooted in reality. So people just coming up with all sorts of imaginary solutions that help them get by. And so I try to keep that in mind when I see people. I say, look at their coping and their secret weird way. And I don't know what that is. And so I can't, should I be able to judge it? I think the only way I could judge it, if I was given complete access to their brains. And I don't just mean looking and touching at the gooey part. I mean their mind inside. The way they see themselves. You know, that seems essential. If you were judging somebody, you'd say, I wonder what really the secret I want answered is, do they think it's wrong? I'd really like to know that. You know, people are such liars. I don't know, really. Let me go inside and see the truth. Well, everybody thinks that truth is inside of people. Well, it probably isn't. They don't know. You don't know. You don't really know what your motivations are all the time. Why are you listening to this show? That's a good question, Buster. Is it? Buster? You're Buster. Buster, it is Buster. Why are you talking to me if you're going to use language like that? Oh, I thought it was okay. My father used to call me Buster. My father didn't call me Buster, I don't think. My father called me Mate because he was a sea captain. No, he wasn't. Listen, people call you all sorts of things, and you don't know what they're calling you or why or whether they're even calling you. That happens a lot with me. I'll hear, Hardy, and I'll turn around. It's never me. It's never me they want. It's so funny. I hear that. If you're like me and you have a common name, then people, all my friend Ziggy, speakers, they go, Ziggy, Ziggy. A lot of times they're talking about the comic strip. They're just super excited. And Ziggy's turning around all the time like that. Also Dondi. So that just happens. And that's just coincidence. And you can interpret it any way you want. If you want to assign meaning to the things I'm saying, I think that's beautiful. If you want to see shapes in the shadows, if you want to hear some sort of reason in the absurd, if you want to hear a story in chaos, if you want to connect dots that weren't meant to be connected, you know how you can tell? They're not numbered. I bought a Connect the Dots book and with no numbers, and I thought, oh, this is just the next level. This is more complicated. But that's not what it was. What it really was, I'm not even going to put the punchline in there. I'm going to let you do it like a Mad Lib. That's a new thing I'm starting. So, hey, here's an address. If you would like to write the show in the 1970s, here's the address to write me in the 1970s. Hardy White, care of 1970s Sound Effect Museum. Belusa Muganada saying, Fratichol Megadrats, 80909099. And I know that sounds weird now. That's because it's from the past. And things were different. They got to make some allowances. It's a whole different world back then. We did all sorts of crazy things that seem absurd or offensive. Like people used to... People a lot of times used to spit on their hand and then rub it in their face while they were talking to you. Nowadays, you'd go, oh, gross. Why would you do that? Right? But in the 70s, that's just stuff people did. And, things go in and out of fashion. Like my shoes. I've worn all sorts of shoes that come in. I wore something called Earth shoes one time. And that was back, I don't know when that was, maybe 1978. Someone said, you're going to have some Earth shoes now. I said, all right. I said, is that because of the color? Because they're Earth tone? They go, I don't know. And nobody knew. And that happened a lot of times with shoes. And maybe went back even before that. I don't remember. I remember having some boots. They say, oh, these are Beetle boots. And they go, like the Beatles, the group? And they go, no, they're made out of scarab, which I don't think you can do anymore. There's a lot of animals that we used to use for clothing that can no longer be used or used for food.
For instance, when I was young, you could still get angel meat. People ate angels. And sometimes, and this is horrifying, sometimes only the wings and the rest would just be left. It just rots into some kind of light. But it's like, ooh, it's real. I can't even describe. Maybe like a vanilla, just like you imagine. Your angel food cake used to be literally have angel in it. And then they're all gone, pretty much. Devil's food cake, too. There are probably some left over because that can you can use dried like mummy. Mummy was used. There were so many mummies at one point, they were grinding them up in the Victorian age and using them for paint. Sometimes people would eat it, say, oh, it's going to make me strong and vital like a mummy. And then, but it didn't, you know, it just make you sick because it's just ground up corpse. Not nice. And you can use it for paint, but it's a terrible paint. And I feel like that is, in a lot of ways, my show might be like that, a little bit like ground up mummy for you. I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be. And I don't want it to be like angels, something that's so precious that, you know, you worry about losing it. I don't want it to be that either. I want it to be both precious and disposable. What's something like that? Oh, I know. It's exactly like that. When you buy those, they're disposable food containers, like Tupperware. That's a brand name, but they're disposable like Tupperwares. But people keep them multiple uses until they're completely, they're lasagna stained and cracking. Huh? There's something. It's meant to be thrown away, and you just keep it around for like 10 years. That's my show. And so I appreciate it. Look how curry stained. It's got curry stains in it. It's, I think, it's turmeric has done it a lot of the time. Turmeric, tomato, whatever we put in this. What are the equivalents? I think just emotions. When you put your emotions into something like we've been doing, friends. Oh, my gosh. We've been sharing for so many years now on the radio. That's the best way to share. And you join me in my celebration of the human spirit. And this year, we're going to celebrate the human spirit in a great big field. We're going to have an official, I'm announcing it today, Hardy White's celebration of the human spirit in a great big field. We're going to have them all over the country. And they're not going to happen. They don't have to happen at the same time. I don't envision them happening at the same time. And you're going to be the only one there. You can bring a friend. I don't want you to be lonely or... But go out in a big field and we're going to have a celebration of the human spirit. And what's that? I want you to alternately cry and scream and laugh. And do that. And then get tired of doing both and take a nap. So just to review, you'll go out in the field. You can start by manically laughing or sobbing. And then just switch back and forth until you're fatigued. And then let sleep take over. And then take a nice... Don't do this in the winter. Do it when you can fall asleep outside and not be either eaten by insects or a bear. But that would be part of it. Oh, there's nothing more human than being consumed by a predator that you underestimated because of your arrogance. I'm the top of the food chain, said little Debbie. The real little Debbie. Do you know this story? So the real little Debbie was a real little girl, and she was very arrogant. And she said, nothing can eat me. I don't at all taste like... But if I did, she said, I would taste like a chocolate cupcake with white frosting in the filling, she said. And then a bear heard her and thought she was being literal. And that's how it all... And then they started the... company because they're bragging like a frozen people enjoy their frozen Charlotte, but it's the same way. I mean, if you don't know that, Google frozen Charlotte. That frozen Charlotte you're eating is based on something pretty grim. So not Peach Mabel though. I think you're not Peach, what do they call it? Peach Milba? Peach Mabel. That's my kindergarten teacher. Peach Milba is okay, though that's not, that's named after an opera singer or something named Melba. Melba Toast.
was a big deal.
So much so that they named a dessert after her. Think of all the people that have baked Alaska is a dessert. And oh, somebody named themselves after that, I think. And then what else is a dessert? Something roll, Swiss roll. We got that with Little Debbie. So I'm a Swiss roll. Gobble, 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 gobble. I love that story. And then, what do you call it? Creme brulee? Crema Catalana, you could have as a variation. Creme brulee, anything where you heat that sugar on top and you make it into a sort of glass. So we used to make, I had this business making sugar glass bottles for the movies to hit people over the head with in saloon scenes. I'm broke. They don't do those anymore, those saloon scenes. So I've got all these sugar glass bottles sitting around. Sometimes I'll get hungry and I'll just lick a bottle. And if it's not one of the sugar glass ones, I feel quite the fool. Don't you feel foolish sometimes, friend? Oh, what if I... Listen, I know that there is a responsibility when I'm on this radio that my emotions are amplified. So if I'm angry, a lot of people are going to hear it. The consequences of my anger are great. The consequences of my fear. I could come on here and say, I'm so afraid of this, that, and other thing, and maybe perhaps you should be too, and I'll get you all afraid. Oh, there's consequences. If I come on here arrogant and I say, I understand the comings and goings of the world or whatever, and there's consequence for that too if I'm wrong. What if I tell you this is going to, something's going to happen after you die, and then you die and it doesn't happen, and you're going to say, hey, I have a bone to pick with Hardy White, and it just so happens I'm nothing but bones right now. So here goes. I'm going bone picking, Hardy, and I'm coming after you. Ooh. I've been on long enough that I do have listeners in heaven. I don't know if they're still listening. I mean, they've moved on. Now they don't have to. That's the thing. If I talk to any of them, say, hey, have you listened to me in heaven? Not so much. Now, there's no need for you, though. Oh, no need, Brother Hardy, for you. That's good. It's like, let's say if you were giving away water or something, you were quenching thirsts. Our thirst is eternally quenched. So there's no need for your quench gum radio show here. All right. Thanks for calling it out for not being real water, something that actually satisfies, but simply some sort of citrus concoction that you chew upon that makes you feel as if your thirst has been sated. Oh, my friend, if I can satisfy any need, I would say this. Gosh, people expect a lot of one another. And I don't think anybody knows what's going on. And that's what it's the consequence of just a lot of confused folks. Some of them are very smart, and they can build buildings and all that sort of thing like that. But sometimes they go home, and they have weird little feelings that have nothing to do with their expertise. I just built a skyscraper, and yet I'm filled with self-doubt. A lot of it's because it just fell, because the skyscraper fell. But even before that, they would say, you know, we all deal with diversity, except for people who are super lucky and don't. No, who knows what goes on inside, like I said. I like to get, sometimes you can get them to tell you if they're feeling chatty and they're drunk and you're sitting next to them on, I don't know, on a bench and you're watching a TV and the TV says, the world's going to end in 5 minutes. I bet you'd hear tremendous life stories at that point. People would be telling you all about themselves. I wouldn't, because I'd say, oh, I have just been unburdened of the past. I don't have to think about the past anymore, dwell on it. It goes away. Time's about to end for me. And so I no longer have to be concerned about all these things that plague me. All the demons evaporate. Now, here's the thing. Because I know that's coming, I went ahead and prematurely eliminated some of my demons from the past. I've cut them away because I think eventually I'm not going to need you. So I've Swedish death cleaned my psyche recently. Because I say, well, I got to, you know, what good are these going to do me? Guilt. I won't need guilt where I'm going. Will I? Well, no, even if you're terrible, even if you think literally it's a heaven and hell, by that time, the guilt is pointless. You're going one or the other. So, you know, you can have regret, I guess, but guilt would be gone. You don't have to feel bad anymore. Oh, I'm being punished eternally, so I can let go of that. I don't have to do it myself. I've outsourced to the devil. He's doing it to my eternal soul. I can actually get some rest, because I'm used to that anyway. So I'll just sleep through it, the endless torture. In my soul. Is it my soul, though, even? I think it's our collective. If we're all one, then we're all going there together. That'll be good. Because anything shared is wonderful. I mean, heaven wouldn't be as good without y'all, and hell wouldn't be bearable. So I'm glad maybe I'd take everybody with me. Can you come with me? I think the ancient pharaohs used to think that. Say, I love y'all so much, I want to take you with me when I die. And they go, oh, if that were only possible. And then he gives him that weird look. Hey, what? What? What do you mean? Why are you looking at us like that? It's not possible to take people with you to the afterlife. Right? What? So that was scary for them. But then, it's cool in here. That's the thing about the Pharaoh's death chamber. Initially, that's why nobody screamed to get out. Because initially, it just looks like the coolest basement. Go, this year, I love what you've done with your basement. And some of the things have deteriorated, like the pachinko machines, I think, haven't survived. But it had bumper pool and drinks and everything. They found some of the drinks and the cheese and all amongst the Pharaoh and his unsuspecting best friends. But then, you know, they sealed it in a big pyramid. And initially they're like, well, you know, we're trapped in a pyramid. Our razor blades are staying sharp, inexplicably. That's a plus. What's the other things inside a pyramid? The acoustics are kind of neat, I guess. Who knows what they thought? Bless them. And then grind them up, make them paint, eat them. There you go. That's the circle of life. That's it. And I've always wanted to make a movie. I've been watching movies lately. Will you watch one with me? Let's go to the movies together. Oh, we already did. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember because we were sitting alone in the dark, not looking at one another. So I didn't know you were with me. Now I'm thinking, I remember walking out going, that was a doozy. Do we keep these glasses? Is another thing I said. But I've been watching a lot of movies, and it made me think that how many there are. That's all. Nothing more than that. Each individual one makes you think something. And I think that's beautiful. I hope that are you a movie for a friend's life? Can you honestly say, hey, I'm impacting someone? Right? And then you think, well, what is my rating, though? So when I encounter people, am I G-rated? Am I R? Am I X-rated? They kept putting more than X in this. Triple X, that's even worse. Oh, X. There should be X with an age. So you're going to be like, you know, X 50. Got to be over 50 to see it. I wouldn't mind. That would be, I wonder what that would be. What would be a movie that's X 50? Probably something with Jack Lemmon or something like that. It wouldn't be porno, I don't think. It would just be like, ugh, who would want to see that under a certain age? But I don't know about that. You know, when I was young, I liked things that were for old people and entertainment-wise. Not food. I didn't like Waldorf salad. But I did like, you know, Harold Lloyd. So that was for old folks. I don't even know if he was still alive when I was a child. Probably not. Who knows who was still alive? Well, I did, because my grandfather had all the Richard Lemparsky, whatever became of happened to books. So that's good. So I knew whether celebrities were currently alive or dead. But now I don't care, I guess, because I see that movies are timeless. And it doesn't matter when I'm watching this movie. Say, oh, is Orson Welles living? No. Was he living then? Yes. Was he old? No, that's just eyebrow pencil. That's not, it's clearly not his mustache. No, it's not. And how, what is he on his face? I don't know, man. Just whatever. Am I older than I look, do you think? Do I look younger than I am? I wonder about that. Am I young? Do I look older than I am? Am I younger than I look? I wonder about that too. I know my age periodically. So I know, but I wonder how others see me. And why do I wonder? Because I'm doing some modeling. And it's very, very specific to a certain age. So you've got to, you know, you have to have been 12 during the bicentennial to do the kind of modeling I'm doing. So I'm real self-conscious about that. I go, oh, I don't know, right? Am I, you know, is that it? Like, that doesn't seem like I've accomplished anything. If that's all I've done is just been born in the right year to do this kind of thing. I thought it'd be about my looks. And go, well, are your looks an accomplishment? Well, no, not necessarily. Sometimes you get a modeling job because of the shape of your head. If you have an enormous head or a very tiny, tiny little head, is that an accomplishment? No, I guess not. What about a degree in physics? Yes. Okay. Or education or social work or something. Or having a tiny, big head. I went through that one. I currently feel all right about myself, and I'll tell you why. Because I have unseen friends, and that's you. And you could be screaming, I'm not your friend! And the world has blessed me with not being able to hear that. So I am so thankful for you, and I am so thankful for this. It's not a soapbox. I said this recently as a joke. I go, what are people standing on soapboxes? And then someone sent me a picture of an old-timey soapbox, and it's larger than a steamer trunk. It is indeed something that you could stand on and speak to a lot of people. It's podium size, man. People used to keep their soap in podiums, in little portable stages. Nowadays, I don't know. Well, I probably use that much soap. I've never bought it in that one of those containers. But I'm thinking now, like, what even comes in anything that you can't even use any container that you get for a stage, practically? You could stand on a cereal box, but I don't know what, that wouldn't be any good. I guess you could put two bars of soap on the bottom of your feet and slide around speaking to people. They would notice you, and then you'd have their attention, which isn't that the point of being elevated on the stage? So you say, I'm skating on soap bars. Excuse me while I skate on my soap bars, but I've got a lot to get off my chest. And so I bought one of those gentlemen's chest razors, and I have manscaped, because now it's off my chest. And that is, it's a lot better. Gentlemen, if you have an opinion, ever, and you say, or something you just have to tell somebody, but it might not be constructive, just shave your chest. That's what my advice. And then you're done. Because really, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do things literally all the time. There's figurative thinking can save your life. Because the literal world is overrated. And you're going to get in trouble. You know? Our arrogance is no good. Oh my gosh. When I'm humbled and I feel love and I feel people are patient with me or something. I appreciate that gift so much because I know I don't always give it. So I know the degree of wisdom it takes to be patient with me, Hardy. And so I always am thankful. And I always want to go on the radio and say, oh, don't give up with loving one another. Don't give up with thinking about each other and consequences and being careful. And that's not foolish or weak, that it is the pinnacle of human strength and intelligence when we are aware of the world. And by being aware of the world, we must be aware of each other's internal worlds and not make assumptions about them and tread carefully and quietly. Just like you were in a landscape that you weren't sure of. Don't go running around and bustling around like a bull in a china shop. When you want to, whenever you want to do that, literally take a bull into a china shop. You don't want to do that, do you? Nope, end up doing nothing. Wise choice. Oh, when you are giving your attention, when you are noticing the world, when you are opening your internal eyes and ears to the experience of others, then you will find that it certainly goes from black and white to color to this other thing that makes your head tingle. And I don't even know what that is. It's beyond color TV. It is beyond radio. It is the way that we connect with one another. Our secret broadcast radio from brain to brain. Oh, I see you there, friends. I see you struggling. I see you. We are this beautiful group of biological goo beings, and we are together here. Oh, let's huddle. Let's huddle and raise our voices. Let's defy this crazy, pointless, painful experience by the contrariness of our choir. Let's raise our voices right now. Raise our voices. You ready to raise your voice? Oh! I'm having a hard time doing it because I don't want to draw attention to myself. That's all right. Let's do that together. Let's all make that noise together. That noise when you want to scream, but you're going, oh, I'm not. I really don't want the neighbors to call anybody. Screaming's weird. It's hard to get people to scream even in a big field because you think, this is a powerful communication. Like, if I scream, somebody may come thinking I need something. A scream is a big deal. Little kids in my neighborhood scream, and we don't run there because we know they're fooling around. But if I heard a grown person scream at that level with that intensity, of course I'd go towards it. It is very, very hard to scream, to find a context to scream in. Even if you're making a movie, you turn heads. So, are there things that are slightly less than a scream, but more than a whisper, that don't necessarily turn heads, but perk ears, that have consequences that are deep? Are we screaming to one another with our subtle anger? Are we sending flames in the form of smoldering embers that are blown through open windows, the open windows of our naive love for one another? And I set your house on fire. I set your soul on fire with my recklessness, with my reckless hate. I would never do that. I don't want to do that. I know it's possible, and so I refuse it. I will not do it.
I won't either.
No.
No.
I'd like to spend a few minutes. Oh, very. I like everything you're saying. Don't shift gears. I'm only going to shift gears. I'm going to put the vacuum cleaner back on. Because I want to tell you something secret. I don't want anybody to hear. So I'm putting the vacuum on so the neighbors don't hear. And then, so, did you get that? I just want them to think I told you a secret. It make everybody think I'm telling you a secret. Say, I'm listening to this new radio show, and it's called Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. And, I'm really liking what I'm thinking of being, and I don't know. I'm thinking of changing everything in my life because of this radio show. You should tell that to your friends and go, no. And then have them listen, and they'll keep listening for the dangerous part, and they'll go, I'm not even sure what's going on. So I'm pretty sure my friend is not going to join a cult, but by the same token, I'm also disturbed. But then we get extra listeners. And around the October Hellraiser, this is awesome, because money goes to the station. Hey, I can't find the thing where I can know who's donated, but I don't know that I'm doing too good this year with the money raising for this one. Anybody want to? So, why is that important? Here's a world. I'll just give you that. I won't talk about it anymore. Here's a world without WFMU and Hardy White. Here it is. Just go. Don't shut it off. Just go stick your head out the window, out the car window. That's it. So it's okay, but it isn't the same. I'll tell you what else isn't the same. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you might be thinking, boy, they let anybody do anything on this station. What's going on with this fella? I noticed that they don't do this on other stations. And let me just remind you of something. 99% of the information that you receive from the news, from movies, TV, everything, websites, it's all for sale. It's all a product. Information is sold to you. That's how we disseminate it. It's all sold. Mine is free. So it seems weird because it isn't filtered or pasteurized or anything. Even podcasts, people, everything is for money. They want to have more listeners. They want to have more money. They have it. Everything is sold to you. Newspapers, everything. You're not used to getting actual information for nothing. And you say, well, this is sold because you're asking for money. Guess who doesn't get any of it? I don't get any of it. And then nobody, because of that, nobody tells me anything. I literally don't speak to anybody. Well, I do sometimes. But in 10 years, nobody's told me anything. No one's ever said, don't do that, don't say that, say this. So they haven't made suggestions. And I'm not doing it. Like, you know this. It's the strangest darn thing, and I'm not alone. And it sounds weird. It sounds that this doesn't sound right like everything else. If we weren't paying for everything, if everything wasn't a business, would movies be different?
You couldn't make them without your...
Well, I don't know. Really? I wonder. Would art be different if it wasn't for sale?
Is it, you're saying, like, is it bad?
I don't know. I'm just saying that... I don't ever think about why I say, the only reason that I say things to you is because we're both human beings and that I believe in the power of communication. And that's why you're listening to WFMU East Orange, MFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Thank you for listening. And I will see you again next week.
Hi. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
Share alone.